Sunday night, Chavis Halbavus. We're in Shaar Bitachon, Perek Dalet. He's going through the applied Bitachon, and he said that he made a turn into the Inyan of Ishtadlus back to Hisaskus Pesibos, because he stresses Bitachon so much when it comes to personal survival, that Hashem gave you life and will give you enough money. You can rely on Hashem that He'll give you life and health and the money to survive and whatever you need, whatever's called a basic need, and every person might be different what a need is. At the same time, though, he goes back to what he said in Perek Gimel, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands us and demands of us that we are Mesasek Mesibos, and that becomes the Tzivi Hashem, that we create the channels through which Hashem's Gzardin flows. And Adarabba, the person has more of a responsibility to choose wisely, because, you know, if it's my Asik, if I'm working, if I'm doing something because this is my territory, Hashem has His territory and I have my territory. So I have my freedom to be as fashlept or as zoriz as I can, as I want to be. It's up to me. But according to the Chavis Halbavus, like it's a little counterintuitive, but it, Adarab, it's very logical. Because it's really nothing, because you're really not accomplishing anything, so you're only doing it because it's a Ratzon Hashem, so now you have to apply to it the whole mindset of someone that's doing Ratzon Hashem. You have to do it well, you have to do it bezrizus, and you have to do the best possible job, and that's all nichlal and what Hashem wants you to do. You'll pick your profession with the criteria that he talked about in the previous perek, and now it's Hashem has to send the shefa, whatever the gzardin of his parnasa may be. But you have to do your best. V'hamosha l'kach, in the middle of page Kuf Mem Beis, around the middle of the page, the last three words on the line, v'hamosha l'kach, and then there's a dish. Shehodam v'avol v'shakitzu midos yimechayim b'gdorim b'gzeres habori yisala. Certainly the amount of years that a person is supposed to live, we all accept the fact that there was a gzardin when he was born. There was already a malach, that and there was already a decision made there how long he's going to live for. So that, and that we can all accept. No, you don't have to be a big baal bitachon to accept. You just have to be a basic minded to accept that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is gezer how long we're going to live. And yet, Ariel Adam l'sasek b'sibol sakiyam b'hishtamsho v'ochel v'mashke v'malbush v'modek fitzrach. Certainly every person has a personal responsibility to, as I say, do his best, Adarabba, to acquire food, clothing, shelter. We're talking about basic needs, because that's what Hashem told us to do, to be mesasek in the sibos. Bal yimser zehal Hashem lemor. You can't turn to Hashem and say, "Im kvar gazer Hashem alai lichyos." If Hashem said I should live, let's say, for 80 years, 90 years, 100 years, who yikayim esnafshi begufi b'li mazon. Everybody understands it's not going to happen. And you have to, as he said in Perek Gimel, you know, we don't realize Hishtadlus is picking up a piece of bread and bringing it to your mouth and chewing it and swallowing it. That's Hishtadlus. Right? You say, what do I have to do that for? So you see, Hashem created a world in which it is Mukhrach to be Mesasek Pesibos. So if you understand that you have to pick up the bread and bring it to your mouth, so what do you do if there's no bread on the table? So you have to get the bread. This is all the Chavis Halbavus explained in the previous parak. So where do you get the bread from? You got to go to the store. You got to go to the store. They're not going to give you bread. You have to have money. So where do you have money from? You have to work. So it's all the same logical hechrich as picking up the bread and chewing it and swallowing it.
And if you conscientiously don't eat, what are you doing?
You're committing suicide, which he's about to get into.
And if you conscientiously eat food that has been proven to be not healthy for you?
Well, you're talking about, you know, you're talking about red meat and high cholesterol eggs, or you're talking about poison?
I'm talking about trans fat. food that's been proven.
A decision?
That's right.
A posek, someone has to paskin. When you talk about something dangerous, there's crossing a highway with your eyes closed, and then there's crossing a street against a red light after you look both ways, right? So some decision has to be made at some point. The degree of danger that's involved, the likelihood of the danger, the immediacy of the danger, these are all subjective factors. And who will ultimately decide that? A posek. Do you want to live near an antenna of a cell phone company or not? So someone's going to have to amass the information and make alert and make a decision whether this is indeed sakana and it's also to do, or whether it's not sakana and it's what to do, or it's a gray area and you have to make your own decision. You know, it's not clear. It's not clear if this is the level of sakana. You want to know at what point does something become a sakana? If it's 51% of the people, if there's a clear link, you know, not speculative, not agenda ridden, there's a clear link. What? Now, smoking became, you see, smoking changed over the years. Right now, based on the prevalent medical knowledge, that's what's there. Smoking would be considered dangerous. There's no question in my mind. But it took a long time. It took decades till the poskim were convinced that it has the immediacy and the likelihood to declare it like, okay, this is also to do because it's dangerous. After that, it's like, you know, someone like, hey, they trans fat and he doesn't exercise. So, you know, you look around and there's plenty of people that are 90 that are like that, and there's plenty of people that jog and this, and they drop dead of a heart attack at 26 years old. I'm not. It's a question of likelihood and immediacy. That's all. To say it's usher to do, that's what we're talking about. It's like everything else. Then it's a question of how it affects. If someone says, I'm only going to buy whole wheat bread, because in the Hanami, white bread is not dangerous, but the Chavitol Rebbe says that you have to do your best in your Hishtadlus, so the best is whole wheat bread, let's say. But then you balance it. Let's say the whole wheat bread's more expensive, and he really doesn't have a budget for it. So because he's buying whole wheat bread, he doesn't have, he can't pay bills. And he borrowed money and he can't pay it back. So you also have to judge the consequences. If the consequences have a clear downside and there's no clear upside, so then who says it's mutter to do? Who says that's what you're supposed to do? I have an opinion about this, though. See, we're sitting here talking theory. I hold, if a person taka develops bitachon the way the Chaim Salvavus describes in Perek Beis and Perek Gimel, see, we're sitting here like learning a text. I'm not talking about you now. We're learning a text and we're having these nice intellectual arguments like you're learning Gemara, Rashi, Tosfos, Yeska Kasha, you say a Teretz. If someone lives bitachon and taka internalizes Perek Beis and Perek Gimel, I promise that person that he will be able to make the judgment calls that you're talking about. He'll instinctively know whether this is okay to do or not. Of course, if he has the information. We're not talking about a guy that closes his eyes and says, what's wrong with smoking? I don't know, So, if you have the information, you know when you're stepping over the line. When does a workaholic know that he's stepped over the line and he's not doing his shtadlus b'merits anymore? But if he really had bitachon, then he wouldn't be a workaholic. He would stop at that point. Like, how do you know what point? So I'm saying there's no clear answer, but a person that's about bitachon will instinctively know when he stepped over the line.